for a long time, it was known as Native Tier. And then the name changed to Osterley, O-S-T-E-R-L-E-Y, in 1892. But for a short time, and this is not quite clear why this happened, it was spelt Ost, A-U-S-T-E-R-L-E-Y, in the 1890s. And I'm wondering whether that had something to do with the Federation movement, because, you know, Australia was going towards Federation. It probably didn't. But they had to change the name from Native Tier because there are so many Native Tiers in Tasmania, and they couldn't know where to deliver the mail. So I think the word Osterley makes sense because it meant, it's thought that it meant westerly. It was west of Hamilton, the main centre, and the French word for west is oust. So that derivation is a possibility, but more likely the name came from the district of Middlesex in England, which took its name from an 18th century mansion called Osterley Park, which belonged to the Earl of Jersey, but was built in the late 16th century.
I dare say even in this day and age, there would be challenges in living at a place such as Osterley. But to go back to the 1880s, the mind boggles on how people survived.
Well, the thing that got me was, for a very long time, the roads were appalling. They were dangerous. No one really had any responsibility for them. There were lots of fallen trees. There were lots of bogs. It's very cold. It's very wintry weather. Snow had to be kept off the wires if they were going to work. Imagine having to do that job in the middle of a cold, Osterley winter. And the other thing that struck me when I was looking into this, Osterley women were renowned as good cooks and would provide delicious fare for social occasions when required. And there was this beautiful description of some more exotic foods that we don't see that much of today. And it went like this. Black puddings were made, bullock heads were potted, and ketchup could be made from mushrooms. During lighter moments, elderberry wine and parsnip winemaking were very popular. Never heard of parsnip wine before.
No, the mind boggles.
The mind boggles. And the stomach.
Well, put up, yes, think. I dare say the stomach would boggle too.
Yeah. So I think that sense of, yeah, they're not an affluent community, but they have, they embody the best of human values, you know, sharing things. And the other thing that was really fascinating, and again, I have sort of heard of this before, but didn't know much about it. Hawkers used to come around the districts and they would sell, groceries or drapery or anything else that they couldn't produce for themselves. And some of the hawkers were Indian or Syrian. The names that I've come across include Kateb Dean, Asad Matty, and Nuni Khan. And they used to either walk with large bundles of goods on their backs, or they rode bicycles, or the wealthy ones drove horse-drawn caravans, which I think is quite fascinating.
And whenabouts was that?
I think late 19th and into the 20th century. I'm painting a very idyllic picture here, and I think it was idyllic, but you mentioned the weather wasn't the best. In the early days, the Aboriginal and bushranger attacks were dangers. Health, to some extent, was a problem because of its isolation. You couldn't get a doctor there quickly, or you couldn't get to a doctor. I think the local doctor was initially just at Hamilton and then at Ouse, but it's still a way away for the kind of country that you're living in. Pneumonia, rheumatic fever and tuberculosis were common illnesses in the area, and childbirth had to be dealt with by local women unless they could get the bush nurse to come along. And then, of course, what we're very used to is not just the frost, as you mentioned earlier, but bushfires. So bushfires were a constant threat in that area, and I think they had a couple of particularly bad bushfires in 1934 and 1966. And the 1966 bushfire was very scary, apparently, and Harold Hun owned a sawmill at Dee. It was a $70,000 sawmill was lost, and he said, the fire was going through trees 70 feet off the ground. The flames went over the 24-foot firebreak around the mill as if it wasn't there. You couldn't have stopped it if you'd had an army.
Goodness. So idyllic, but not without its challenges.
Correct.